Psalm 43, Psalm 43, the pages of God's Word. We've been working our way through the Psalms and we've been digging treasures, little nuggets that we can set aside in our own lives to help us spiritually, to grow us in grace. We understand that the Psalms are the language of the heart. The psalmist begins to share the inner struggles that he has, and oftentimes very transparent. We see that, especially when we come to Psalms 42 and Psalm 43. We're going to find they go together. They're companion psalms. One follows on the heels of the other. They have the same theme. They have the same tone. They have the same tune. Because in reality, they're just about the same song. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 5, the last verse in Psalm 43. The psalmist asks, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." If you look back in Psalm 42, this is exactly the same two verses that you're going to find coming out of the heart of the psalmist in verse number 5 of Psalm 42. Look back if you would. You're going to see the same words. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You find it again, verse number 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You see, the psalmist is in a cast down state. He's in an emotional crisis. Has that heavy heart of discouragement and depression and despair. Look at verse number 6 of Psalm 42. He said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." He's in a time of great emotional distress, and many believe it's David that is struggling. And when you come to Psalm 43, it's interesting that he's going to experience a measure of victory in Psalm 42. He's going to experience a measure of growth in his life. He's going to come out of the depression into the sunshine of God's blessing, only to have the waves of discouragement and depression and to despair come crashing over him again. He finds himself right back in the same shape that he was before. He's still struggling. The battle is still raging in his life. Look at verse number 2, the last part of Psalm 43, the last part of verse 2. "Why go I mourning because of the oppression, a heaviness of heart, because of the oppression of the enemy?" The battle's still raging in his life. Here's what I want us to understand. There's times as Christians that you and I can experience a measure of victory in our own spiritual lives, maybe an area of temptation. Maybe it's an area of discouragement or depression or another area of struggle in our lives, only to find ourselves right back in the same struggle. To find ourselves fighting the same battle, dealing with the same issues, and asking the question, "What in the world is wrong with me? Why in the world am I right back where I was at? Why in the world am I dealing with the same thing that I was dealing with in the past? And why can't I be like everybody else?" That's exactly how we'll talk. And here's the reality. Somehow we think we're unique. Somehow that our problem, our burden, our struggle, our situation is unique than everybody else. Everybody else is from Earth, but I'm from Mars, and somehow I'm different, and my problems are different, and my struggles are different. And here's the reality of it. There may not be anything wrong with you. The reality of it is every Christian struggles. I struggle, you struggle, we are fellow strugglers. Now, I'm not trying to be depressing tonight, and I'm not trying to be discouraging tonight, but I am going to speak in reality, because we'll look at somebody else and we'll think, "Man, they've got it all together. I wish I was them." Can I tell you, we're really good at putting masks on. We're really good at putting a veneer on that hides the struggle that goes on the inside of us. And here the psalmist peels off the veneer. He goes beneath the surface and he says, hey, I just want you to know that even though I had some victory in my life and I experienced some blessing in my life and God worked in my life, I still am struggling. Can I help us tonight to understand there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. There's not a trial, there's not a struggle, there's not a temptation, there's not a storm, there's not a difficulty in life that some believer has not walked down that path before and gotten the victory over. Amen? Now let me just share some reasons why we struggle, and then I'm going to dive into the message. Could I do that? Let me give you some reasons why we still struggle. Number one, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Remember what Bible says in Job 14, verse number 1. Man that is born of woman, that's man or woman that is born of woman. Because if you're alive, you was born of a woman. Are you with me? Only two genders. And only one of them has children. And there are a few days and full of trouble. That's what he says. Our life is short and it has trouble, struggle in it. Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Here's what he's saying. That every new day brings with it new problems and new struggles and new temptations and new battles. Now here's the flip side of that. It also brings new opportunities and new blessings and new victories. And so don't lose sight of that either. But every new day is going to bring with it its own struggles. But thank God there's also victory. Amen? Let me give you a second reason why we struggle, and that's because of the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh. Remember when Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane with the Lord Jesus and he said to Peter, James, and John, would you watch with me 1 hour? Would you just pray with me? Could you imagine in that moment of extremity in the heart of the Son of God, he looks at three of his closest companions and he said, listen, would you pray with me? And he goes off in a little distant from them and he prays. His sweat becomes his great, great drops of blood. I mean, he is agonizing in the Garden with the Father only to come back and find them sleeping. Remember what he said to them? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. I know that there is within you a spiritual side of you that wants it, that's willing, that's desirous, that's determined. But watch this. The flesh is weak. Now let me help you understand something. I'm not programming us to failure. I'm not giving us an excuse to failure. I'm not giving us an excuse to sin. I'm not giving us an excuse to live less than what God desired of us. But the reality of it is that one of the reasons why you and I struggle is because of the infirmity and the weakness of our own flesh. That friend, there's times that we allow our flesh to get the best of us. Would we agree with that? If we're not careful, when the battle rages, those old feelings will return. They'll take control of our thoughts. We can retreat to familiar places where we're consumed and self-absorbed with ourselves and our problems and our feelings and our thoughts, and we shut everyone and everything out, even God. It's the weakness of the flesh. Now, not an excuse. Maybe a reason, but not an excuse. Number three, let me give you another reason why people continue to struggle. And that's because of their own natural makeup, or what I would call their temperament. It's how we're wired. Everybody's wired different. My wife's wired totally different from me. She doesn't need a cup of coffee to wake up in the mornings happy. It will drive you nuts. All right, I wake up and I don't want to be happy for at least half hour. Anybody want to say amen? I mean, get a cup of coffee, you know, just have a little silence, you know, sort of get things rolling, you know. Oh no, she wakes up, jumps out of the bed like the Energizer Bunny, happy, buzzing, and I'm like, you're driving me nuts. That's why I get up before she does. That way I can have about 30 minutes to get ready for her to get up. We're just wired different. Everybody's wired differently. Everybody has a different temperament. Some people have a little more cheerful temperament than others do. They do. Some people have a little melancholier temperament than others. A little more of a deep a predisposition that lends itself to discouragement. It's sort of the partly sunny, partly cloudy, half full, half empty view of life. And some people, I mean, they just go through life, and I mean, it can be as cloudy as it can be, but the sun's back there somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? You ever know people like that? I'm married to one. All right, so keep going. Trying to get her down the altar tonight. You know, I mean, you know, if it gets 9 o'clock and my to-do list is not halfway done, I feel like the day's gone. You know what she'll say? She'll say, "You got the rest of the day. What in the world?" It's just how I'm trying to help her tonight. We're wired different. Can I tell you that doesn't mean God messed up when He made you? You say, "Well, why didn't God make me cheerful?" Because if we were both cheerful, we wouldn't be able to stand it. Now, God makes everybody different. And it's okay. It's okay to be different. That just means that you and I, who may have a little more melancholy or temperament, need to be a little more in tune with making sure that we're applying biblical principles in our lives, that we live in victory over that melancholy temperament. To look at things from God's perspective rather than our own. And recognize that God uses that in our lives. By the way, somebody's got to balance somebody else out. Isn't that right? Number four, let me give you the last reason why I believe sometimes that we tend to struggle or continue to struggle. It's because of the relentless nature of our enemy. Can I take you back to verse number one, last part of verse one? Notice what he says, "Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man." Now, can I have you understand that the Bible reminds us that our battle is not flesh and blood. But yet at this point, David is identifying a source of an enemy coming against him who is a pawn in the hand of Satan that's bringing about oppression and difficulty. And actually, if this is the situation we think, which is the revolt of Absalom, there could be the betrayal of Ahithophel, one of his dearest friends. He could be experiencing that. It could be the rebellion of his own son seeking to take the throne from his father and take the kingdom from him, which in turn means that he's going to take the life of his own dad. And David's facing this, but understand, they're just pawns in the hand of a greater enemy. Look what he says, verse number 2. Remember what he said. "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Let me help you understand something. The devil is always at it. He just always is. Remember when the Lord Jesus was being tempted of the Satan in the wilderness? And the Bible said, and when the devil had, this is Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He left him, but he didn't leave him. He wasn't gone forever. He didn't go away and stay away. No, he returned. And can I tell you, there are going to be a seasons where the enemy attacks you. And you face the oppression of the enemy. And it seems like it's relentless. And you may win a measure of victory. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the end of the battle. He's going to return. He's relentless. He'll stoop to anything and he'll stop at nothing to bring about your downfall and my destruction. He sure will. So we find ourselves at times still struggling. Here's just some simple reasons. We live in a fallen world. Our flesh is weak at times. We live in the flesh rather than the Spirit, and we give in to our fleshly desires and nature rather than living to the new nature as we should. There's times our own temperament, we have to factor that issue in, how God wired us, and remember that there's times that maybe because we may have a little more a tendency to look at things from a negative standpoint, that I need to work harder and I need to put God's principles into my life, that I'm looking at things from His perspective, and then because my enemy's always going to be attacking me. And I need to understand that. But what do you do, preacher, when you find yourself still struggling? Can I give you a few things real quickly, and we're going to work our way through the psalm? Can I give them to you? Number one, recognize this. This is very important. I want you to get it. Victory in the Christian life is a moment-by-moment reality. Nobody experiences total victory all at once. Now, there's times I get victory over sin. There's times I get victory over a temptation. But you know what? There's another temptation. There's another battle. There's another struggle. You understand what I'm saying? There's a moment-by-moment victory in the Christian life. You remember, David gets the victory in Psalm 42. He finds himself struggling again in Psalm 43. Thought it'd be over this by now. Here I am, right back where I was. But you know what? Just because... Now, catch this. Here's what I learned. Just because we experience a victory today doesn't mean that we can't have a setback tomorrow. That'll help you, young Christian. Nobody lives on the mountaintop. Nobody lives in perpetual. The pastor doesn't. The deacons don't. The assistant pastors don't. Nobody I know lives in perpetual victory on the mountaintop all the time. Nobody does. The Christian life is to be lived daily, not weekly, not monthly, not yearly. At times it is lived moment by moment. We have a victory one moment only to lose it the next. I am reminded of Moses, the meekest man that ever lived, finally got to the point where the people's murmuring. It got to him to the point he went into a rage and he struck the rock and it disqualified him from the promised land. Oh, he had victory after victory after victory, had a moment of failure. I'm not excusing the failure. God didn't excuse the failure. It's just a reality that there's going to be setbacks that come in our lives. And that's why we're continually from a position of victory seeking to live in that victory as a Christian. To appropriate the principles of God's truths into our lives that you and I can live in victory moment by moment by moment by moment. Because that's how the Christian life is lived. What happens, preacher, when I have a setback and I fail or maybe I'm back where I find myself? You confess that to the Lord. You confess it to the Lord. You remember, failure isn't final. Just because I'm back where I was doesn't mean I have to stay where I am. Just because I'm having a struggle doesn't mean I have to continue to struggle. Just because I'm not experiencing a moment of victory doesn't mean that in the next moment I can't have victory. It doesn't mean that at all. And so we need to, by faith, begin to put God's principles of victory to work in our lives. So number one, realize that victory is a moment-by-moment reality. Number two, make sure you're thoroughly right with God. Look at verse number one again. He said, judge me. Did you notice before he ever does anything else, he says, God, I want you to examine me. I want you to look in me. I want you to... God can't plead our cause. He said, plead my cause again. God can't plead our cause if we're not right with Him. David's asking God to examine him, to look into his life. He's taking God's side against himself. He said, God, before I go any further, before I ask for anything else, I recognize I can be my own enemy, and through disobedience, through sin, through unbelief, through personal failure, I can be bringing struggle into my own life. And God, I want you to examine me, judge me. He wants to be right with God. Christian, you know what? When you're struggling, just ask God to examine you and make sure you're thoroughly right with God, because that puts us on the plane and on the pathway to victory. God can't fight for me if He has to fight against me. What that means is if God's trying to deal with an area of my life, He can't bless me and move me forward in victory until that area of my life is dealt with. Make sure you're thoroughly right with God. Number three, depend on God's strength. Look at verse number two. He said, for Thou art the God of my strength. Do you know that's a statement of fact? Now, David's going to talk about why didst Thou cast me off. He's going to talk feeling abandoned. Why go I mourning? Why am I in the shape I am in, God, when You're my strength? You know what he's saying? God, I'm weak, but You're strong. Do you realize that the first step, after making sure we're thoroughly right to God, the next step of victory is realizing we can't, but He can. I'm no match for the enemy. You're no match for the enemy. There's times my problems, my struggles are greater than I am. But I always want to remember, my God is greater. He's greater. That's why the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God's arm is not short that it cannot save. Now, I understand we use that in relation to saving sinners, but you understand there is a deliverance in the life of the Christian, and God's hand is not weak that it cannot deliver us from the struggles that you and I battle with in our spiritual lives. Because it can. He can. He's able. Amen. He's able. Remember, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Prayed three times for God to remove it. Did God answer his prayer? No, he didn't remove it. He answered his prayer by saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We need to recognize that we can't, but He can, and live our lives in His strength, realizing that you can have the victory, you can overcome, you can deal with the despair, the depression, the discouragement, the temptation, the struggle, the whatever it is in life, because greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world, and we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Amen. Number four, jot this one down. Give your questions to God. Look what he says. You're the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? God, why do I feel so abandoned, forsaken, alone? When I know you're my strength, why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? You know, you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't think y'all ever asked God why? Well, David did. Didn't he? He did. You know, children love to ask questions. I was around a parent the other day and they had a child, and I'm telling you what, they could ask more questions than that parent could answer. It was unbelievable. I'd forgotten how many questions a child can ask. My kids are grown. I forgot that. But you know what? God's children are the same way. And it's okay to bring your doubts and your confusion and your questions to the Lord. It's okay. It's okay to ask why if you're talking to your Heavenly Father. He loves you. He has the answers. We need to understand vain is the help of man. God doesn't answer every why in my life. God's not going to answer every why in your life, but He will give us a promise that we can cling to and lean on and hold on to that will anchor. I may not understand the answer, but I sure can cling to a promise. What about you? Number five, I'm moving quick. Have y'all noticed? Feed your faith and not your feelings. Feed your faith and not your feelings. When we get discouraged, we're being led by our feelings. I do it, you do it, we all do it at times. We begin to let things go. We begin to let our minds go. And then we begin to let things go in our lives. Then we feel guilty. Because we've let things go or we've let our minds go or whatever, and then we feel worse, and then we find ourselves in this vicious cycle of feelings and not doing and thinking and all of this, and it just leads to greater discouragement. It's just this vicious cycle. And what we're doing, we're feeding our emotions by giving in to them and saying things to ourselves that further discourage us. And notice what David does, verse number 3. He said, oh, send out thy light. God, it's foggy where I'm at. God, it's confusing where I'm at. I need your light. Aren't you glad that God gives light? And thy truth. Now, many people believe that the light that the psalmist is referring to here was the cloud by day, the pillar by night that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Don't ask God for direction if you're not willing to follow. The cloudy pillar and the fire was wonderful, but it did the children of Israel absolutely no good whatsoever if they didn't follow it. And so when God gives us light, when He gives us truth, then we need to follow that because He's going to lead us into the place of victory, the entrance of Thy Word, the psalmist said, giveth light. Now here's what happens. When we get discouraged or we're struggling or we're defeated in our spiritual lives, you know what we tend to do? We tend to let go what we need the most. You ever notice how people will get down and they'll quit eating? They'll quit eating. And I'll say to people, listen, you need to eat. Now, that doesn't mean that we're feeding on Doritos and corn chips and candy, and we're talking about nourishing things that help our body to function properly. You understand what I'm saying? And all of that. And people in a time of crisis, they'll stop eating. They'll lose lots of weight. It'll affect them and all of that. And you know what? It further drags them down. Well, the same's true spiritually. When you get defeated spiritually and you neglect your time with God and you fail to spend time with the Word of God in prayer, you get anemic. We get weak spiritually. And guess what? It leads to greater struggle. It leads to greater failure. It leads to greater difficulty. And what God's saying is, you need to stop feeding your feelings. They're going to lie to you. They're going to lead you in the wrong direction. They're going to put you in a vicious cycle. It's going to lead to fogginess and confusion. And what you need to do is you need to follow God's truth that leads you into the light. That's what He's saying. That's what He's saying. By the way, when you get discouraged, turn up the heat in your devotional life. Number six, we're moving right along. Spend time. Now, you're going to say, preacher, you've already said this. I know I have, but I'm going to say it again. Number six, spend time in God's presence. You feed your faith by spending time in God's presence. Now, look at verse number three. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. So there's the presence of God. Then will I go unto the altar of God. You see prayer and communion. Unto God my exceeding joy. Now, watch what happens. When the light leads me, I follow God's truth, I come into His presence, guess what I'm going to find? Not just joy, but exceeding joy. Did you see that? I'm not just going to pray, but I'm to praise. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God. You know what David says? God, you know what? I don't feel like it, but I'm going to get my harp out, and I'm going to pluck on it, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to praise You. I'm just going to worship You in spite of how I feel. I'm just going to give You glory, and I'm going to rejoice in You, because I know You're going to bring me out. Isn't that amazing? He's not going to let his feelings control him. He's going to let faith control him. Listen, It was a great preacher of the past that said these words. He said, there's some things you can't pray your way through that you can praise your way through. You can praise your way through. Number seven, here's the last one. Get your eyes on the Lord. Look at verse 5. Now, I believe this will work. What about you? Right out of the Bible. God's prescription pad. Why art thou cast down? We get so discouraged. Sometimes it's grief, pain, loss, hurt, problems, difficulty, stress, tension, discouragement. I mean, we can go on and on and on, and our soul becomes cast down. Why art thou disquieted? That speaks of the turmoil, the noise that's going on inside of him. Why? Notice he says, why are you cast down? Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God. Can I say that the greatest need in times of discouragement is to get our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and even other people and to get them onto the Lord? Because what happens is we lose our focus. We preached on this back in Psalm 42. The psalmist begins by looking into his soul. Did you see that in verse 5? And it's cast down. It's disquieted. It's in turmoil. It's noisy. But then, wait a minute, he ends by looking up to God and suddenly he's got hope and praise and joy and the health of his countenance. Did you see that in that verse? Your soul is your true self. That's who you are. This body is just the house we live in. It's our intellect, but it comes cloudy at times. It doesn't think right at times. Our emotions are overwhelmed. They don't feel right at times. Our will, we struggle with doing what we know to be right. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in ourselves and we're defeated. But when we look away to our God, we're going to find victory. Hope in God. Can I remind us, with Jesus, there is hope. He is able He's able. His Word teaches us that when we begin to put His principles, just what I've shared with you tonight, in place, that doesn't mean that I'm going to immediately jump up and down being happy. It doesn't mean that suddenly I'm going to just all of a sudden this thing, I'm going to have this joy so bubbling up in me I can't hardly stand. It doesn't mean that. Here's what it does mean. That you're going to begin to experience a measure of victory in your life. That you're going to be coming out of the gloom and into the gladness. You're going to stop singing a sad note, start singing a glad note. And before you know it, the gloom is gone and the joy is before you. Before you know it. You know what he's saying? This is not the end. It's not the end. Just because I'm struggling, that's not the end. I don't have to stay here. Failure's not final. This does not have to define me. You know what? You say, well, preacher, I've got one of those melancholy temperaments. That doesn't have to define you. I'm depressed. That doesn't have to define me. I'm discouraged. That doesn't have to define me. No. My identity's in Christ. I have victory in Him. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. Always. You see, there's hope and help in our God. He's our helper. Notice He said, for I shall yet pray. He said, hope in God. He said back in verse number 5 of Psalm 42, He talks about who's the help of my countenance. God helps us. Aren't you glad that when we begin to obey the Lord, He releases His power in our lives. He helps us. And then He says, God is my help. Did you see that? The health of my countenance. God brings a healthy disposition into the heart. Because everything looks different from His perspective. I don't always see it from His perspective. That's why I have to put His principles to work in my life. I may not be able to rejoice in every circumstance, every trial, every struggle. We've already learned that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Where am I to rejoice? I'm to rejoice in the Lord. His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His love, His plans, His purposes. None of that's changed. All of it's the same. I may feel like it's changed, but it's not true. You see, Christian, you just hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Trust Him. Look to Him. I love what Oswald Sanders said. It's not our trust that keeps us, but the God in whom we trust that keeps us. And friend, you and I, even though we're still struggling, don't have to remain in the struggle. There is victory. Hey, but realize it's moment by moment. I have to continually putting the principles of God's Word to work in my life. I need to make sure I'm thoroughly right with the Lord. I need to depend on His strength and not myself. I need to give my questions to Him. Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I'm going to give it to You, God. I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm giving it to You. Feed your faith, not your feelings. Your feelings will lie to you. Spend time in the presence of God. He said, preacher, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Don't let your feelings define you spiritually. And get your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes on the Lord. Now, friend, we all struggle. We all struggle. And there's times we still struggle when we get victory over a certain area of our lives and we find ourselves battling with it again. But can I tell you, friend, the same pathway that brought you victory will take you to victory again. It'll take you to victory again. It'll take you to victory again because God will not fail us. Amen? I don't know where you are tonight, but maybe you need to bring something to the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're tonight and you say, preacher, I'd like to make sure I'm saved. I'd like to make sure my sins are forgiven. I'd like to make sure that the Lord lives in my heart. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. And we're going to invite you to come tonight. Maybe that's you. And maybe you're an invitation as others are coming.